May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen.
I was mentioning to Joe before the service back in the sacristy that I'm going to try to resume my artistic skills at with the guitar. My plate's been busy over, sir.
I just noticed in our readings today, the harp seems to be more appropriate to the cause.
Anyone know where I can get a used guitar, you know, the beginner's guitar to start with? Cynthia and I drove up to Lumberton last night just to get out because we felt like we had a bit touch of cabin fever. You know, the weather was a bit nasty this week, and we just wanted to get out of the house and get away from you know, for a little bit. So we drove up to Lumberton, and halfway up there, the phone rang, and I've got Bluetooth in my truck, so and her car as well. So we were able to drive carefully and talk on the phone without, you know, being distracted. And the call came in from Alexis Tyson Permitter that her father had passed. Her father-in-law had passed. So after service, I'm heading over to Mullins to sit down and work on that. But the reason I mention it is her father-in-law was a veteran, so she needed that ability to, you know, military funerals and all that business. Thank goodness I'm in the Guard and have that bit of a training, so it kind of adds another dimension to be able to not just be a priest, you know, civil priest, but also to be a military priest where I can help those families that may need that additional service and want a military funeral. Now, I mention that as well because at guard duty last week, I had chapel services, and our chief chaplain forgot his guitar. And so here we are trying to get through a few hymns without any musical instruments to help everybody keep tune. So that was the impetus that sort of prodded me to make that step to maybe get into the world of music and learn how to play the guitar. I can play the piano a little bit, but not as good as Emily, so I can't help you there. And I guess that's enough said about music. So we'll see where it goes. I may be setting myself up for a fall, but, you know, so be it. I've fallen before. I dust myself off and keep going. As we begin the season of purifying ourselves to be holy and acceptable unto God, let us consider Christ's temptation by Satan himself when we read, which we read in today's gospel. Similar accounts of this temptation of Christ are also found in the Gospels of St. Mark chapter 1 and St. Luke chapter 3. Christ Jesus had just been baptized by St. John the Baptist and was preparing to begin his 3.5-year ministry, some say just 3-year, on earth, proclaiming the new covenant of salvation to both Jews and Gentiles. Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, where he spent 40 days fasting and praying. And we need to have a discussion on fasting someday, but we're not going to do that today, but we do need to look at that closely. He survived Satan's power of seduction and did not fall into temptation, and in the end the angels ministered unto him. Knowing that the Holy Spirit led Christ into the wilderness brings 7 parallels to mind that run concurrent with our own lives, if anyone wants to take notes. The first parallel is that Satan did not waste any time tempting Jesus after his baptism. When we are baptized as Christians, we are marked as Christ's own. Temptation begins immediately and will always be a part of our lives. Over time, as we grow stronger in our faith, the power of temptation grows weaker, we hope. This passage tells us that we should follow the lead of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, and we should trust in him as he leads us to do God's work in the fields and valleys and vineyards of life. The second parallel is by going into the wilderness, we are to proclaim the good news in all manner and condition on earth. The wilderness represents the unlawful, unruly, and dangerous highways and byways that are rampant in this world. It is in this battleground of the world that we all live. It is both the dwelling place of demons and as the source of divine tranquility among the faithful whose paths we cross. As Christians, we are not to avoid the lowly gutters of life where so many lost are found, because ultimately it is a place of victory. As Christians, we are to be a beacon of hope to a lost and lonely world. And if we remember that recent, two Sundays ago, I think we talked about the four types of soils, but there's a parable about the wheat and the tares. And someone asked, well, why do we have to live in the world of wheats and tares? Why are we all combined together? Can't we just kind of clear out the bad and just let the good survive? That's not really part of God's design. We're to be a part of this world, not away from this world. We are to live in this world. And it's our burden, actually, that we should show the good news to those who don't know that. So that's part of our responsibility when we become Christians. The third parallel is that Jesus is demonstrating how to overcome temptation. When faced with temptation, we should always remember that the power within us is greater than the power in the world. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we read, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." This, we all know, was written by St. Paul. In St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, we read, "For the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" In each of Satan's three temptations, Jesus responded by reciting a word of Scripture. This is the way we resist temptation, by reciting Scripture and laying claim to the Word of God. Reciting the Lord's Prayer or calling on the name of Jesus will send Satan fleeing, and that's what I use when I'm tempted. The fourth parallel is that Scripture and the Word are one and the same. The Word, according to St. John, is Christ Jesus. So in this passage, Satan is tempting both the person and spirit of Christ Jesus. The same thing occurs when we are being tempted. Our flesh is tempted through our five senses of seeing, tasting, hearing, touching, and smelling. But our spirit is also being tempted as well. We are taught to strengthen and build ourselves up and build our spirit so that when temptation arrives, we have the strength to resist it. The fifth parallel is that although the power of Satan's temptation is alluring, ultimately we find it is an empty promise. Satan may offer great treasures such as money, power, prestige, but in the end they are just hollow promises. Scripture reminds us that earthly treasures will decay. In St. Matthew 6:19 we read, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Where Satan's promises are a great lie and deception, Christ Jesus' promises remain true. Again, the fifth parable is that although the power of Satan's temptation is alluring, ultimately it is an empty promise. I want to follow up on that because Soren Kierkegaard wrote, and I'll paraphrase it, I may have said this to you last Sunday, but he was talking about the things of this world and how material things, fleshly things, all these things that offer temptation to us. And by the way, they usually begin with what we see. He says all these things of the world are very rewarding and fulfilling, but the problem is they're not very satisfying. He goes on to say this, like, when we're hungry, we'll find food, and that is fulfilling, but it's not satisfying. When we're tired, we'll find rest, and that may be fulfilling, but it's not ultimately satisfying. When we need love and affection, we'll find it somewhere with someone, and that may be very fulfilling, but it may not be satisfying. What he means is this, and St. Augustine picked up on it. In fact, it's written in Psalms of King David. There's a verse I found this week, and it said St. Augustine wrote, man will not find rest until he finds rest in thee. Man will not find rest until he finds rest in God. There's where the satisfaction finally comes. Life may be fulfilling in many areas, but until we have that personal relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, life will never be totally satisfying. So in Christ Jesus, we find treasures that will never tarnish nor decay. Jesus' promise will lead us into heaven, while Satan's promises will lead us straight into hell. The sixth parallel is summed up in St. Matthew chapter 6, where we read, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Mammon is another word for material wealth or possessions, especially having a debasing influence representing idolatry or the worship of Satan. In Jesus' three temptations, Satan was asking him to turn his back on God, his Father. When all the wealth, all the power, all the dominions of this world were offered him, he refused and continued to be faithful to his Father. This is the kind of faith we need to develop. And as we seek righteousness through him, and as we are tested through temptation, our faith in the Lord will grow stronger, and our resistance towards sin will strengthen. Temptation often begins with the eye. Pride, vanity, desire often lead to idolatry. When we idolize something, and sometimes I think I might be on the verge of idolizing sports. I have to be careful there. I love college football. When we idolize something, we place it above God, and God despises idolatry. Money is an integral part of our existence, but it can also lead to our destruction. How we understand money is where we must make that adjustment. If we keep money in its proper perspective by keeping God at the center of our lives, we will remain in good stead. Other temptations include drugs that harm our bodies or poor eating habits that cause health problems like anorexia or obesity, or being a daredevil, for that matter, trying a feat that we cannot possibly succeed at. God created this world, and he wants us to live here safely and healthy so that we're able to fulfill our purpose to glorify and honor him. And there's another element to temptation that we should be aware of. God allows temptation because testing is a fundamental area of faith. We live in a secular world, the wheat and the tares, that have very little interest in religious matters. It teaches us to put ourselves first rather than God first. We also live in a materialistic world, and its primary focus is to accumulate wealth rather than caring for the needs of others. These values we hold as Christians are opposite to the values of this world. Our sinful nature is spiritually rebellious and defies both the laws of God and the laws of man. Therefore, our society considers obedience optional. It is not uncommon for Christians to be chastised for living by a moral code of ethics and values. Therefore, God allows Satan to tempt us. When we resist, we grow in the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. This is how God molds us into Christian men and women he wants us to be. In God's hands, we are clay as he continues to form us into his likeness. We live a life of continuous sanctification because we are constantly faced with temptation and it is not easy to overcome. I expect we've all seen the three monkeys representing hear no evil, speak no evil, and see no evil. I have a little collection on top of my credenza, and I've got those three monkeys up there, sort of a reminder. Avoiding evil is most difficult when we are bombarded through various mediums that attack our moral fiber, from television to movies to radio, billboard advertising, present company excluded. We are inundated with immoral advertising. We are led to believe the ways of the world are how we are to behave. We need the necessities of food, shelter, clothing, but our nature desires additional material and creature comforts. Therefore, we need to learn how to control ourselves as well as our own desires. Unfortunately, our world does not believe in self-control. We are taught to do as we wish and behave as we desire because there are no consequences in this world or the next, we are told. Nothing could be further from the truth. Contrary to popular belief, there are consequences in the afterlife, and most often there are consequences in this life as well. Worship service are a regular way to empower our faith and strengthen our resolve to resist temptation. And in our Anglican services, we are given the chance to repent of our sins and receive absolution. Then we are able to reconcile and repair our relationship with God. And hopefully along the way, we're able to learn some useful tools to strengthen our spirits and minds so that we are able to resist that temptation which is so much a part of this world. There's another way that we can empower ourselves to resist temptation. In St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we read about the armor of God. We cannot go into the battle of evil in this world without the armor of God in place. It would be like going on a football field without a helmet or pads, which would be a dangerous proposition. So in Ephesians 6:13, we read, "Therefore put on the armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." The seventh parable is simply this, "And it was evident with Christ in the wilderness. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. If we love God completely, then there is no room for temptation. Nothing can separate us from God, not even our own desires or Satan's temptations, if we love God completely." And finally, it occurred to me that often anxiety and fear are the root causes of our temptation. Anxiety is a fear of tomorrow. And Christ tells us not to be anxious, fearful, or to worry. In St. Matthew 6, it is written, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, how they do not sow nor reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen."